Paramahamsa Supravidakasharya Asadhara Sushima. His Divine Grace, Shalasi Bhakti Vedanta Swamira, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kaur Premanande, all glories to the sound of our ears. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapada. Namaste Sarasthapada Zayin Gauravani. Om Agnat Vrindasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padam Aham Vidati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamalam Sigrom Vaishnavamsa, Virupam Sagurjatam, Sagara Raghunatam, Vitam Tam Sadivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Prajna Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shiva Sakam, Vitamsa, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dina Bando, Dagatate, Sisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Vri Priye Panchakapa Dhruvya Sha Kripasin Dhruvya Vrta Adhidhanam Bhavane Jyo Vaishnavi Yo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitiranda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Schedule Incarnations, Text Number 26. Bhume,
Bhume,
Sura,
Sura,
Itara,
Itara,
Varuta,
Varuta,
Vimarditaya,
Vimarditaya,
Vaisha,
Vaisha,
Vayaya,
Vayaya,
Kalaya,
Kalaya,
Sita,
Sita,
Krishna,
Krishna,
Kesha,
Kesha,
Jata,
Jata,
Parishiti,
Parishiti,
Jana,
Jana,
Anupalaksha,
Anupalaksha,
Marga,
Marga,
Harmony,
Harmony,
Cha,
Cha,
Atma Mahima,
Atma Mahima,
Upani Bandhanani,
Anupalaksha,
Bhume Sureta Vatura Vipamarta Ditya
Bhume Sureta Vatura Vimaditaya
Ke Klesha Vyaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Kesha
Klesha Vyaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Kesha
Jata Karishati Janan Upalaksha Marga
Jata Karishati Janan Upalaksha Marga
Karmadi Tatma Mahimo Pani Bandha Dani Udanani
Karmadi Tatma Mahimo Pani Bandha Dani
Bhume Sureta Varuta Vimardita Ditaya
Bhume Sureta Varuta Vimarditaya
Klesha Vava Vyaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Kesha
Klesha Vyaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Kesha
Jata Karishati Jana Nupalaksha Marga
Jata Karishati Jana Nupalaksha Marga
Karmadi Chatma Mahimo Pani Bandhanani
Karmadi Chatma Mahimo Pani Bandhanani
Bhume of the entire world.
Of the entire world.
Sura,
Sura,
Itara,
Itara,
other than godly persons.
Other than godly persons.
Varuta,
Varuta.
Soldiers.
Himaraditaya,
distressed by the burden. Klesha, miseries. Vyayaya, for the matter of diminishing. Kalaya, along with his plenary expansion. Sita Krishna, not only beautiful but also black. Kesha, with such hairs. Jata, having appeared. Karishati, would act. Shana, people in general. Anupalaksha,
rarely to be seen.
Marga,
Marga,
path.
Karmani,
activities. Cha, also. Atma Mahima, glories of the Lord Himself. Upanibadhanani,
in relation to.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends with His plenary portion. The Lord comes in His original form with black, beautiful black hair, and just to expand His transcendental glories, He acts extraordinarily. No one can properly estimate how great He is. This verse is especially describing the appearance of Lord Krishna and His immediate expansion, Lord Baladev. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev are one Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is omnipotent, and He expands Himself in innumerable forms and energies, and the whole unit is known as the One Supreme Brahman. Such extensions of the Lord are divided into two divisions, namely personal and differential. The personal expansions are called the Vishnu Tattvas, and the differential expansions are called the Jiva Tattvas. And in such expansional activity, Lord Baladev is the first personal expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vishnu Purana, as well as in the Mahabharata, both Krishna and Baladev are mentioned as having beautiful black hair, even in their advanced age. The Lord is called Anupalaksha Marga, or in still more technical Vedic terms, Avang Manasagochara, one who is never to be seen or realized by the limited sense perception of the people in general. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, it is said by the Lord, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita. In other words, He reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. Only the bona fide devotees can know Him by His specific symptoms, and out of many, many such symptoms, one symptom is mentioned here in this verse, that the Lord is Sita Krishna Kesha, or one who is observed always with beautiful black hair. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev have such hair on their heads, and even in the advanced age, they appear just like young boys 16 years old. That is the particular symptom of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Samhita is stated that although He is the oldest personality among all living entities, He always looks like a new, youthful boy. That is the characteristic of a spiritual body. The material body is symptomatized by birth, death, old age, and diseases, but the spiritual body is conspicuous by the absence of these symptoms. Living entities who reside in the Vaikuntha lokas, in eternal life and bliss, have the same type of spiritual body, without being affected by any signs of old age. It is described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, that the party of the Vishnu Dutas, who came to deliver Ajamya from the clutches of the party of the Yamaraj, appear just like youthful boys, corroborating the description in this verse. It is ascertained thus that the spiritual bodies in the Vaikuntha lokas either of the Lord or the other inhabitants are completely distinct from the material bodies of this world. Therefore, when the Lord descends from that world to this world, he descends in the spiritual body of Atma Maya, or internal potency, without any touch of the Bahiranga Maya, or external material energy. The allegation that the impersonal Brahman appears in this material world by accepting the material body is quite absurd. Therefore, the Lord, when he comes here, has not a material body, but a spiritual body. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti is only the glaring effulgence of the Lord, of the body of the Lord, and there is no difference in quality between the body of the Lord and the impersonal ray of the Lord called Brahma Jyoti. Now the question is why the Lord, who is omnipotent, comes here to diminish the burden created upon the world by the unscrupulous kingly order. Certainly the Lord does not need to come here personally for such purposes, but he actually descends to exhibit his transcendental activities in order to encourage his pure devotees who want to enjoy life by chanting the glories of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:13-14, it is stated that the Mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord, take pleasure in chanting the activities of the Lord. All Vedic literatures are meant for turning one's attention towards the Lord and his transcendental activities. Thus, the activities of the Lord and his dealings with worldly people create a subject matter for discussion by his pure devotees. Bhume saretara varuta vimartitaya klesha vayaya kalaya sita krishna kesha jata karishati dana nupalaksha marga karmari chatma mahima upani bandhanani. When the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of the kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends with his plenary portion. The Lord comes in his original form with beautiful black hair, and just to expand his transcendental glories, he acts extraordinarily. No one can properly estimate how great he is. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Buddha Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vijarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. So what's the Supreme Brahman? What is it composed of? Anyone listen to the purport when it's being read? Yeah. Yes, it says it there. Hard to pay attention. So, Supreme Brahman is explained here. It is composed of all the Vishnu Tattvas, which are known as the Swangsa, and the Vibhinamsas, the living entities. So Krishna, he has different expansions. He's known as Swangsa and Tadekatma Rupa and Avesha. So Swangsa means, or Swayam Rupa, actually Swayam Rupa, means Krishna's original form as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And when Krishna expands, he expands first as Tadekatma Rupa, which has two divisions, known as Vilas and Prakash. And the Vilas and Prakash are divided into Prabhav and Vaibhav. So Tadekatma Rupa means Krishna's pastimes expansions, either as his pastimes in Vrindavan, such as Baladev, who winds up as in the Prabhav forms, Vaibhava Prakash, Prakash and Vilas, or as an expansion as Narayan, which are the Vilas forms, as Prabhav, or Vaibhav, actually, Prabhav and Vaibhav. So as Vaibhav, Vilas is Krishna's Narayan forms, 24 Narayan forms in Vaikuntha. And then Krishna also has different expansions as incarnations. And he has his Avesha forms, which include the forms such as Narada and Prithu Maharaj, for expansions of his opulences, or Ananta for other types of forms. Prithu actually was for the ruling, Narada Muni for devotion, etc. So Krishna has his empowered forms, he has his plenary expansions, and he has his personal form. And then there, of course, there's the Vibhinamsas, the ordinary living entities. And then there's the Vibhutis. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, shrimad oryatam eva va, tattan eva vagachetvam amate chamsa sambhava. Krishna expands in so many different energies, which are known as the Vibhutis. So Krishna says, aham atma gurukesha sarabhuta shyastita, aham adyahi devana, aham atma gurukesha sarabhuta shyastita, aham adyahi, aham, that I am the super soul, dwelling in the heart of every living entity, I am the beginning, adyar, the middle, madhyam, and anta, evacha, and I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Aditya namaham vishnora, Jyoti Sam Ravi Am Suman Marashir Maratam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. So the Dityas, he is who? Yes. And of the stars? Yeah, of the Dityas, he is Aditya Namaham Vishnur. Jyoti Sam Ravir. Of the lights, he is Ravir, the sun. Marasham Maratam Asmi, of the Maras he is, and of the stars he is the, yes. So there are so many vibhutis mentioned, including that he is of the Daitya demons, he is who? Of subduers he is, and of animals he is the, yes, and of birds he is. So these are his vibhutis. So all these vibhutis, they all have a purpose. It is not that simply whimsically, as people do nowadays, whimsically they create something. Actually, people don't whimsically create anything. Everyone does something for a purpose. Unfortunately, the purpose that most people do things for is not elevated. Prabhupada remarked, for instance, in the verse where Krishna says, etam vibhutim yo, etam jas dristim avashtavya nashtatmanona buddhaya pravat yugra karmana shaye jagatohita. So this is from the 16th chapter. Etam dristim. Dristim means vision. So, etam dristim avashtavya. So their vision is covered. And whose vision is covered? Are those who are godless. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadohura nishram aparashpuram sambhutyam kimanyat kamahaitukam. There are a class of persons who are known as demons, and their principal symptom is that they don't believe that there's a God. They say asatyam. Everything is untruth. There's no truth. There's no ultimate reality. There's no source of everything. There's no janma dhyasya tone vayat itara tashkaratesh babhagat svara. There's no person who is the janma adi, the source of the birth of everything. It is all unreal. There's nothing real. Apratishta. And there's no steady laws behind everything. Nothing is being, there's no foundation for anything. Everything can change in a moment. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohura. They say that this world, anishram, there's no controller behind it. Aparashpuram sambhutyam. So we have this word parashpuram in Bhagavad Gita. The devotees are in between themselves. They're chanting Krishna's glories. Machchita machkata prana bodhiyantash parashpuram. So here, aparashpuram. There's nothing going on, so what is the word? Aparashpuram, sambhutyam, kemanyat kamahaitukam. So aparashpara, without cause. There's no, and sambhutyam, Kemanyat and Haituka. Because, if they say there's any cause, they say Aparash Param, there's no ultimate cause behind everything. But if anything's going on, it's all due to lust. So following this vision, Etam Drishtim Avashtavya, they're following this vision, Etam Drishtim Avashtavya, Nashtatmana Alpa Buddhaya, little intelligence. So they seem to have a lot of intelligence. They can build big telescopes and computers and airplanes, jet planes. They can make atomic bombs. But this is not very much intelligence. Krishna says, Alpa Buddha. Nashtatmana na Buddhaya, Alpa Buddhaya, Pravat Yugra Karmana, Pravadanti flourishing, Ugra Karma. The result of their vision is that what flourishes is Ugra Karma, very unpleasant activities. Advancement of modern civilization is judged, for instance, if they want to judge how a country is advancing by how many animals they're killing. The gross national product. It was more or less how many animals are being killed and sold to slaughterhouses and making money, how many drugs they've manufactured to poison people, how many factories are producing useless things, how much advertisement is being convincing people to buy things that are unnecessary. This is a gross national product. It has nothing to do with the actual prosperity and happiness of people. It has to do with how greedy people have become to waste their energy and suffer getting things that are anarthas, creating anarthas, unwanted things. So this is called Ugra Karma. And what is the symptoms of Ugra Karma? That the necessities of life are disappearing. Good food, clean air, fresh water. These are disappearing. And toilet paper, lipstick, these are becoming more or less a necessity. That people, it says in America, before the average woman faces the world, she, when she gets up in the morning, she puts on 11 different types of cosmetics. And the average man in America is now 7. Still there's no equality. But they're catching up. So this is a necessity that you have to cover over somehow or another the rotten things that are in your stomach by fresh fresheners, all the alcohol you've drunk to cover over the pain that you're suffering from as a result of indigestion. So many different tranquilizers to stop your mind from agitating you any more than it is already. Aspirin to cover over whatever the other drugs couldn't cover over. So this has become a necessity. But the real necessities of life, the real basis of peaceful, happy, harmonious living, these have become more or less disregarded as something sentimental or superstitious. They're in the way of progress. But this is called Ugra Karma, Pravadanti Ugra Karma. Ugra Karma flourishes, and what is the basis? Is that people don't accept reality. They can look at the universe, see all the planets moving in their orbit, and conclude it's a wonderful accident. Although in their own lives, they're claiming everything has come about by accident, but in their own lives, they don't take anything for granted. If on the basis of concluding that the whole universe came about by accident, that the sun would rise exactly at its appointed time every day, set at its appointed time, such a wonderful accident, giving us exactly the amount of heat and light necessary to sustain life on this earth, such a wonderful creation. So on that basis, if the best things come about by accident, why go to school to get a degree? Why go to school to learn anything? Why not stay at home and you'll get even a better degree by accident? Why try to become rich? Stay at home and you'll make more money by accident. Accident will bestow upon you all blessings. But no one actually believes in this. they create some theory to eliminate the possibility of an Ishvara, a controller, or laws, or a basis of activity to regulate one's life. They've eliminated all that, and instead they've created a philosophy of complete independence, whimsical, and what is the result? Whimsical philosophies. What is the result? Simply uber karma. People suffer working for more to get less. Shaye jagato hita. And they eventually do things that are going to destroy the world. Hita means benefit. Jagat hita. For the benefit of the world, shaye means they destroy the benefit of the world. Whatever good is in the world, they systematically try to eliminate. And the whole basis is that people don't accept God. They don't accept God, they don't accept His incarnations, they don't accept His teachings, they don't accept His laws, they don't accept anything real. They create everything whimsically. So here it says that God is a person and He has symptoms, He has activities, and they are all purposeful. Here it mentions specifically that Krishna has blackish hair, and he's always youthful. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adhyam puranam purusham naviyovanam cha vedeshu durlavam adurlavam atmabhakto govindam adi purusham dhamahan vajami. So Lord Brahma, the most intelligent person, he's glorifying Krishna. He's not glorifying, President Bush or, some other Cassius Clay, whoever. Now he's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has extraordinary qualities. One of them, he's Naviyovana. He's always fresh and youthful. So who in this world is glorified as being ever fresh and youthful? Even people who are so-called God-conscious, they don't even glorify God for being ever fresh and youthful. Although it's a quality that every human being, practically speaking, is trying to preserve their youth. If someone looks 10 years younger than they actually are, they're considered to be very fortunate. So, if Krishna is unlimited billions of years old and he looks 16, then he's certainly the most fortunate. That's actually real fortune. You can be trillions of years old and still, or quadrillions of lifetimes of Brahma old, or eternally old, and still look like you're 16. And not only that, but Krishna eats as much as he wants. And he doesn't get fat. He still has the same youthful appearance. So how fortunate Krishna is. But they never think that God could be like that because that's too much. They're already envious of God, and to think that God has a youthful body eternally, that's too much. If he's God, at least give him an old body. Let him suffer eternally. So they can appreciate God in this, an old person shivering, shaking, arthritis and trembling. So, alright, he's God, he's eternal, but let him suffer eternally, the old God. The old goat. Give him what he deserves. We got to grow old. We have to, and so let God be eternally old with all the inconveniences of old age. But here, God is eternally youthful. So people, sometimes they don't like that. They become even more envious. You hear a Shriya Kanta, Kanta Parama Purusha Kapataruvo. Druma bhumis chintamani garamayi toyam amritam kata ganam natyam gamanam apivamsi priya saki chit anandam jyoti param apitaras padyam apicha siyatra shirabdavdi shavati surabhivyascha sumahan nime shardar kyova vritihina vyatra api samaya. Nime shardarkyo vavritim hiyatrapi samaya golokam itiyam yapi golokam iti yamati tadasa vimapita sayatra what's that? Sveta dvipam tamahamiha golokam iti yam vade sveta dvipam iha golokam iti yam sayatra. No, actually, the last line is Krishna is only understood by some very few self-realized souls in this world. So Krishna there says he has unlimited consorts. They all love him and he all loves them. So even that, people get even more envious. Every word in the scriptures simply increases people's enviousness, who are demons, and they want to think, oh, this is all mythology. Even if it's scientifically explained, they just don't want to hear about it. Scientifically, we can read in the second chapter of the second canto that how Paramatma is in everyone's heart, giving everyone intelligence. And if one logically, with one's intelligence, whatever intelligence we have, if we study this, we'll see, yes, I'm not this body, and that there's a person supplying me with intelligence. And without that intelligence, I can't perceive and I can't do anything. And that intelligence is being supplied just like a teacher supplies knowledge to the student or a father supplies direction to the son. So the all-pervading intelligence is a super soul, because that intelligence is equal everywhere. Even an ant has a certain amount of intelligence. Every living entity is being supplied with intelligence. So some intelligent person must be supplying that intelligence, and he's known as a super soul. But because people don't want to accept that, therefore it says that they have no intelligence. Alpa buddhaya. Or the impersonalist who says that they have no intelligence. Abuddhaya. Avyata vyatam apanam manyate mam abuddhaya. The lowest of the impersonalists, they're abuddhaya, no intelligence whatsoever. And the demigod worships their kamais taista ridhigana prapadyante nadevata tam tam niyamam astaya prakriti niyataksvaya yo yo yam yam tunum bhakta shradayar chitum ischani tasya tasya ashram shradam tama eva vididaniha. I guess it's the last one then. They're known as, they have little intelligence. Alpha. So the demigod worships as they have little intelligence. The materialists, they also have little intelligence. And the impersonalists have no intelligence. Kamais taista ridhigana. Their intelligence has been stolen by illusion. Ridhigana. Prapadyante nadevata tam tam niyamam astaya prakriti niyataksvaya. So their intelligence has been stolen, the demigod worshippers, the materialists, their little intelligence, and the impersonalists, no intelligence. And what is that? Because they don't accept the super soul. They don't accept the knowledge coming from God. They don't accept the laws He's created. They don't actually accept reality. And the result is they have to ultimately simply come back to repeated birth and death in this world. They may become very important persons in this universe. They may even become demigods. They may become demons. But the result is they have to come back and suffer in the material world, repeated birth and death. Janmamriti jaravyadi. So, we have to accept that Krishna is eternal, and we're also eternal. Krishna has a body, which is made of Satchitananda, and part of that, the symptoms, is that his body is unlimitedly beautiful. It is full of bliss. It is not that the only beautiful bodies can be these gross material bodies. That unless you have a gross body, it can't be beautiful. Of course, these gross bodies are not very beautiful. If you take away the skin, no one will think it's very beautiful. So what is beautiful about it? Simply the skin. So you take the skin off, and how much will you worship the skin on this body? So is the skin actually very beautiful? No, actually this body is not very beautiful, but everyone has a concept of beauty. So that original concept of beauty is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates, they're unlimitedly beautiful, and because things seem to reflect or seem to remind us of that original source of beauty, therefore we find things pleasing or unpleasing, displeasing in this world. So it is said, Urdvam malamadak shakam ashvatam prahur avyayam tadamsi yasya paranani yashvam veda sadedavit. That there is a banyan tree and it's being reflected in the water, and therefore although it appears to be real, that reflection is actually only temporary. It actually has no real substance. But similarly, this material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world, where everyone there, Nimeshar Dartyo Vavradhini Hyatrapi Samaya, time is absent, conspicuous by its absence. As I said before, every day the coward boys, the coward girls, Krishna, Mother Yashoda, they all wake up and they're all younger than the day before. They all have more energy. So that's not our experience in this material world. But that's the spiritual world. Everyone is becoming more enlivened, more energetic, more blissful, more enthusiastic every day. But this world is being a reflection, and those who want to enjoy this material world, their pastimes are just also reflections of reality. So in order to show us what real activities are, what real life is like, therefore Krishna comes with his leela, his transcendental roadshow. So he comes in many incarnations and demonstrates many different types of pastimes. But of course, for us, here it says in Bhagavad Gita 9:13-14. So 9:13 is Mahatmana Sumam Parata Daidim Prakatim Ashitya Vajanya Nanya Manaso Dhyaka Buddhadim Avya. So those who are not Avajanati Mamudha, those who are not mudhas, and practically everyone is a mudha, the same quality as an S. So this mudha, Krishna has explained to the persons at Namasharanya. Not Namasharanya, it was at Kurukshetra, when there was a sacrifice performed by Vasudeva. So all the sages headed by Narada Muni and Vyasadeva were there, and they asked Krishna to summarize the philosophy of the Vedas. So he said that yasyatma buddhi kunapet vitaruke padi kala tradishu bhama idhidi yathirta buddhe sahale nikarhichish ganesh bhavageshu eva gokara. So, what do you say? Go and kara. Go means cow and kara means ass. That's mudha. Mudha means ass. The same as kara. So people who are in the bodily concept of life, who believe that the body made of three elements, three energies, is oneself, who identify those in relation with the body as being their intimate relations, who believe that the land of birth that they come from is sacred because they appear there, and who are not interested in any kind of spiritual knowledge, but simply have some faith in something called piety, which is more or less a different way of saying humanism. There is a way of improving your life, and you know, go to a bath, take a bath once in a while. Go to a sacred place and take a bath. So such persons are go and kara. They're on the same level as a cow or an ass, because a cow or an ass is also in the bodily concept of life, eating, sleeping, mating, spending. So a human being who is on that level, on the bodily concept of life, they're also on the same level as an animal. They may have a PhD, they may be honored within society, but they're actually on the animalistic level of consciousness. Namely, we could say anamaya or pranamaya. And maybe a little bit of manamaya, but basically it's all in the material concept of life. They're not on the vijnanamaya, on the intelligent platform, trying to transcend the body. Therefore, Krishna's pastimes when he comes here have no appeal to them. Or if it does appeal to them, only so much as it resembles their pastimes. And what they think, oh, this is nice, cute story, you know, some cowherd boy killing, and you know, demonesses. Nice thing to read to your child before you take rest. Nothing to take serious. It's all mythology. That there may have been some cowherd boy who was an aborigine cowherd boy elevated to the platform of godhood by some aborigines. But today in India, so many people are raised to the level of avatar. So Krishna was raised to the level of avatar. He got his name into the Vedas or into the Bhagavatam. But he, after all, it was just some aborigine. So my neighbor down the block, he's also an avatar. And he also has his followers, and they're all chanting his glories too. But this is not the nature of Krishna's pastime. So therefore, Mahatmanas Tumam Bharata, those were actually Mahatmas, great souls. They're in the Daivi property. They're in the internal energy of Krishna. It's a different energy. It's a different quality of experience. And what are their activities? Sadantam kirtiyantamam yatantas cha dridavrataha namasyantashtamam nityat namasyantashtamam nityat tushan nityukta upasate. So they're always chanting Krishna's glories. They're endeavoring with determination to serve Him, bowing down before Him. Such persons will certainly be connected with Him eternally. But they won't raise the GMP. They'll be considered not to be very significant in society. They're not producing anything to further people's illusion within this material world. They're chanting Krishna's glories. Krishna came here 5,000 years ago and displayed those pastimes because, as it says in Brahma Samhita, by such lila smarnam, one actually comes to associate with Krishna. Hearing about Krishna means to actually directly associate with Krishna and his associates. And the more expert one becomes in hearing and chanting and remembering, then the more intimately one can actually associate with Krishna and experience the full benefits of directly associating with Krishna. As he displayed his pastimes 5,000 years ago, or as he displays his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. That's the nature of spiritual sound vibration. But such persons will not be interested, those who are pashugnats, because they're animals. They're on the level of animals. All they can think of is, they can't conceive of anything besides eating, sleeping, mating, and defending with this gross and subtle material body. They have no consciousness of anything higher than that. So those who have some medasa, some brains left, then they can understand about the science of the self, the atma-tattva, about the science of the soul. First of all, we have to understand that we're a soul. Unless we can accept that we're a soul, it won't make any difference who the super-soul is. First of all, we have to think that we have to understand our nature as a soul, and then that there's a super soul. And what is that relation between the soul and the super soul? It's not that the super soul, you know, when there's big skyscrapers and when there is big factories and where everything is going quicker and quicker, then the super soul is pleased. No, Krishna is pleased when there is a loving feeling exchange between the soul and the super soul. In today's godless society, God is not only there, but it's illegal in most places even to try and put Him there. They're not only forgetful of God, but they're averse to Him. So is that very pleasing to God? They're creating a whole society, which Prahlad Maharaj says is a humbug civilization. He said, Naiva dvi de paradharatya vaitaranyas tvadhirya gayana mahamrita magnitita so che vimukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudha. He said, when I chant Krishna's glories, then immediately my mind merges into an ocean of transcendental happiness and I become completely satisfied. There's no need of escaping from the material world or trying to improve my material situation, I become completely happy. But I'm lamenting only to see that people in this godless civilization, they're working hard for happiness, but actually they've simply become super fools. But he says, Vimuda. They're not only asses, they're super asses. They're working hard for happiness and creating unhappiness because they don't actually know that the real source of happiness is the relation between the soul and the super soul. So no matter how much they work hard to create this humbug civilization, they'll simply create more and more suffering and miseries for themselves. So this Krishna is so kind, he displays his pastimes. And those who are intelligent, Krishna Varnam, Tusa Krishna, Sangha Pangas Raparashidam, Jagnai Sankirtana Prayar, Yanti Hi Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent, they'll take to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which gives us the possibility of understanding and experiencing Krishna's pastimes in the most easy, pleasurable manner. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna, they don't have to come because they're bored in the spiritual world. They wanted to go for a vacation here in the material world. That's not why he comes. Or sometimes we heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes here to experience Radharani in the spiritual world. He has his own place in Goloka Vrindavan where he's eternally experiencing. He doesn't have to come, you know, to India to experience Mahabhava. But he comes in order to show us step by step. Prabhupada said, just like the teacher, sometimes he writes ABC on the board. It's not that he's practicing ABC, but he's showing ABC just to teach the students. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes from the beginning to the end are all instructive to the conditioned souls how to make progress towards reaching the platform of Mahabhava, if that's their position. Krishna's pastimes are all instructive, both for the liberated and the conditioned souls. For the liberated souls, he has his pastimes of the cowboys and the gopis. And for the conditioned souls, he kills Putana, Agasura, Aristasura, just to purify us of our anarthas so that we can actually come to the platform of appreciating the nature of his transcendental pastimes. So therefore, every word, whether Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should try to appreciate that this is Krishna's merciful activities and instructions for our benefit. And see how it actually applies to us in our present circumstances, so we can actually take advantage. And those who want to deny that this is actually very valuable, it's not really worth our time or effort to get into these things, we have to make money, we have to create better relationships between ourselves, that we tried it with Krishna already and it failed. So now we have to get more intimate personal relationships, and when we all love each other, then we can learn to love Krishna. So one who wants to create, you know, they've been trying that since time immemorial. It hasn't worked. One day you love someone, the next day you shoot them. So it hasn't worked. That Krishna and his pastime show us that if we want to love someone, we first of all have to love Krishna. And when we see things in relation to Krishna, then we can actually love everyone else in relation to Krishna. And when we don't see things in relation to Krishna, when we forget Krishna, then we forget about ourselves. If you want to have light without the sun, it'll be very difficult. And there may be some, as it says in the Krishna book, there may be some glowworms. There may be some fireflies, but they won't give very much light. But when the sun comes up, everything will be very clear and bright. So if we want to have things clear and bright, we want to know how to properly relate to each other, we have to put the Krishna sun there first, and everything else can follow. Of course, it's not that we think we put the Krishna sun there as a shield, and then we do any nonsense we want. As Prabhupada once said that he was chanting some japa, and then he threw his beads on the table and said, "Now I've chanted my 16 rounds, and I can do any damn nonsense I want." It's not that we put the Krishna sun there, and now it's a shield, and I can do anything I want, and Krishna will purify. No, if the Krishna sun is there, if we're actually under Krishna's control, we're actually Krishna's servant, then we'll act exactly according to Krishna as he's described within the scriptures, exactly as he himself and his other as devotees previously have acted. Then it'll actually be Mahajno Yena Katasapanta. That will be the symptom that the Krishna sun is there. And if not, then we can, Prabhupada said, we can go on with our own pastimes in the material world and imagine that there's something divine and come back again and again into the material world, imagining that we're actually engaged in some divine leela as a human being or as a frog or as something. Okay, thank you. Are there any comments? Yeah. Oh, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us in one of his literatures that by killing some demons, just like when he killed Trinavarta. So Trinavarta, he went very high. So he represented mental speculators. But Krishna dragged him down back to the earth. Or Putana represented a false guru. So when we hear about these pastimes of killing these demons, and if we appreciate them, then it's also we'll be killing some of the Anarthas within our heart. Tendency to accept false gurus or to become attached to mental speculators, etc. Yeah, of course, that's only one instruction to the sages at Kurukshetra, but that's one of the ones that's quoted most. Yeah, of course, it's all quite basic, quite simple. It's not that you go to the spiritual world and everything is quite complicated, no one can figure it out, they have, you know, all the scholars trying to figure out what's going on here. Everything is very basic and simple. So real knowledge means it should be very clear and simple. And when everything is so confusing, we can't understand it, then it's called Maya. Spiritual world is very simple. Krishna is completely lovable and everyone loves him. And he loves everyone. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.